Trying to sell your old car? Instead, donate your vehicle to Heritage for the Blind. Pickup is free and your donation is tax deductible. Just call 1-800-943-1356. Heritage for the Blind accepts cars, vans, trucks, and boats, whether they run or not. Donate your vehicle and you'll receive a free 3-day vacation voucher to over 50 locations. Call 1-800-943-1356. That's 1-800-943-1356.
Blog Talk Radio.
From Dog Works Training Centers, professional canine training centers in Denver, Colorado, and Anchorage, Alaska, this is Dog Works Radio. Committed to families and their dogs to build lifelong and fulfilling relationships. Visit our website at dogworksradio.com. DogWorks Radio is part of Twine Group Media and syndicated worldwide on blogtalkradio.com. Now, here are your hosts, Robert and Michelle Forto.
Hello and welcome, everybody. This is Robert Forto, hosting from Alaska, and we are waiting for our co-host, Michelle, to call in. She's having some technical difficulties on her end, as we seem to have about once a month, using the Blog Talk Radio site as well as Skype. So on the line is Michelle. Michelle, are you there?
I am.
How are you today?
I'm frustrated with my cell phone service.
Well, that's
no
that's
reason
what we're dealing,
why it shouldn't be working.
That's what we're dealing with when we're dealing with Skype and cell phones and the internet. So anyway, glad you could call in. It is our Christmas puppy show. Before we get started, what is going on at Denver Dog Works?
Well, at Denver Dog Works, you know, it's the typical holiday season. We have, you know, you and I have a handful of clients that are not necessarily clients. They are really our fans. And they come back every year between Thanksgiving and Christmas and purchase dog training from us or drop off a Christmas card and some dog treats and wish us a happy holiday just because they know that we are a small business and they want to make sure that we stick around for another year. And it's very sweet. And I'd like to, you know, throw out there a thank you to those select few people who have been rooting for us to keep our business going and you know, keep Denver Dog Works alive for another year, and I appreciate all their warm wishes and thoughts.
Well, you know, that's one heck of a Christmas gift to come in and sign up for a dog training program.
You know, and it is, and when I say a handful, I really do mean we've got five clients that have stuck it out with us year after year who come in every year around that time, like I mentioned, and they will do a Canine Good Citizen class, or they will even sign up for private lessons and then tell me not to worry about it, you know, or they'll just drop off a couple of bags of treats, and treats are very expensive. Yesterday I had a client drop off a bag of treats and give me a $100 tip, and it, you know, almost made me cry because I was remembered, and that was very sweet.
Well, the way I was thinking is that's a great Christmas gift to give to somebody on your Christmas list, the gift of dog training.
It is, absolutely. And I hate to put this out there on the air, but the phone that I am calling you on right now might lose its battery. So if I'm on the other line, then you might want to pick me up on the other phone.
Okay, we'll give it a shot. So while we're switching over, can you tell us a little bit about what is going on for the holidays in Denver? I know I've been up here for about a half a year now. So what is the festive attitude in Denver this year?
You know, in Denver, it's pretty typical. There are a lot of shoppers in Denver. Denver likes to do its shopping down in Denver where the weather is mild. We don't have snow and slush and, you know, rain and dirty sidewalks. It's very clean this year. The sun is shining today. It's about 50 degrees. It's a beautiful day. And that's what people in Colorado want. They want to go down and shop in, you know, pristine weather conditions and then head up to the mountains and go skiing for the afternoon. A lot of people here will go up to the mountains for the holidays, for Christmas itself, because there is no snow in Denver.
So what should these shoppers and holiday revelers do with their dogs during the holidays?
You know, a lot of people will board their dogs during the holidays if they are going out of town. A lot of people will look at doing some doggy daycare. And, you know, there's other people that have given me a call and asked, you know, what can I do? I'd like to do some training with my dog, but with all my family and friends in town and all the shopping I've got to do, I just don't have time to get it done. And we do offer day training during the holidays. It's not doggy daycare. It's day training. In other words, you can come drop your dog off with us. We will do some socialization. We'll work them out through a few training routines, take them on some walks, and just let your dog have a vacation from the house. You know, houses at this time of year can be highly chaotic. The kids are home from school, grandma and grandpa, aunts and uncles, and, you know, cousin Eddie is all around, and they bring their animals too, and it can make for a chaotic situation and stressful situation for your dog, which means that they might not be eating correctly. They're definitely not getting the exercise they need, and you might notice that they are a little bit off constitutionally, and you know, you're wondering what's going on and why are they acting like idiots when people are coming to the door. So calling a trainer like us and having them, you know, trained for a couple of days a week during the holidays is a good investment.
That is a great idea, and I look forward to having people give us a call. We do that all the time, not just through the holidays. You can always contact Michelle at Denver Dog Works at 303-578-9881 or visit our website at denverdogworks.com. And if you're a fan of us on Facebook or Twitter or any of those other social media, we always put up specials and coming events and discussions and blog articles and all that stuff. So I encourage all of you guys to find us on Facebook, Twitter, Tumblr, LinkedIn, all of those things. We're out there. So we're going to take a quick break and let Michelle switch over her phone, and we're going to talk about Christmas puppies. When we come back, we'll be back in about 30 seconds.
Are you looking for a career you will love? Do you want to be the best? DogWorks Training Centers has business opportunities in your area. Give us a call at 303-578-9881. We have the best and train the rest.
And we are back. We're doing our annual Christmas Puppies show. And we have on the line, calling in from Denver Dog Works, Michelle, are you there?
I am. Can you hear me?
Yeah, we can hear you just fine. Like I said at the beginning of the show, we're dealing with a little bit of technical difficulty. I guess it's all those people calling mom and dad and grandma on the Christmas week.
Okay, well, I'm going to go ahead and hang up the other phone and make sure that you can still hear me on my regular number.
All right, here we go.
Can you still
okay.
Hear me?
Yes, we are here. So, Michelle, let's talk a little bit about Christmas puppies. I want to know if it's a good idea or a bad idea to buy a puppy for your special someone on that Christmas list for the holidays.
You know, it's not necessarily a good idea, but it's also not necessarily a bad idea. It depends on the family situation, how much research you've put into this particular gift, and how much you know the person that you're getting the gift for. If you're getting the gift for yourself, then by no means do I feel that it's a bad idea, as long as you know what you're getting into. And that's what this article is about. Giving a pet of any kind to someone other than yourself is not always necessarily the best idea. But getting yourself a gift, which I understand from listening to the news shows and programs last night, a lot of people are spending about $110 on themselves this year, which is up from last year. And, you know, if you're in the market, you're single or you know, just getting out there and you want to get a puppy for Christmas, that's your responsibility, and there's no problem with you getting that gift for yourself.
Wait a second. You said that the news is stating that a person spends about $110 on themselves in Christmas?
This year they are reporting that people are spending about $110 on themselves this year. So they're going out and they're buying gifts for their friends and family, but then they're also spending about $110 on themselves. Now, you and I, our family spends about $100, $150, not on ourselves personally, between you and I. We turn around and spend that money with local charities, Toys for Tots, and those types of situations. And that's what you and I choose to do with any extra money that we have. We don't turn around and spend it on ourselves. But keep in mind that during the holiday season, there are a lot more items being purchased other than Christmas gifts. You have to take into consideration, you're out shopping all day. Are you going to take the whole family to dinner, or are you just going to grab a bagel on your way through the mall? You know, and that's helpful for those businesses that count on people shopping at Macy's and Dillard's and the mom and pop stores, that you stop by their little restaurant and you go ahead and you eat lunch, or you go ahead and you eat dinner, because restaurants during this time of year count on those sales as well.
So, again, what about Christmas puppies? I know I am a frequent guest on news and radio and things, and I have a show coming up on the 22nd for a show in Las Vegas, and the website is lvrocks.com. It's called The Dave Scott Show. I'm looking forward to being on that show talking about Christmas puppies, as well as a couple of other interviews that I'm going to be doing throughout the week. This is a very busy week for us at Denver Dog Works in regards to Christmas puppies. I'm usually on some news outlet somewhere talking about this subject. And I've wrote an article that I've posted on my blog on both robertforto.com as well as denverdogworks.com. And the title is A Christmas Puppy, Maybe Not. Go ahead, Michelle.
So, you are thinking of getting a puppy for Christmas. Think twice. The idea of giving a puppy to a child for the holiday comes from the right place. You imagine the child's reaction, an excited shriek, followed by cooing and exclamations of joy and appreciation. Unfortunately, the scene you envision is exactly the reason that I do not recommend giving a puppy as a gift. There is a lot involved in pet ownership that not everybody thinks of when they have intentions on getting a pet for Christmas. Who will be taking care of this pet? Are they willing to exercise their pet daily? How much time are they going to be spending with it? Where are they going to keep it when they are at school or work? Are they planning on taking the time or expense grooming their pet? Are they going to have them spayed or neutered? Are they going to have them properly vaccinated? Finally, what would they do if the pet had behavior problems? What are they planning to do if there was a medical situation that involved major expensive medical treatment? If you can answer that and you are dedicated in caring and being financially responsible for that dog, then by all means, get one. But there is a lot of responsibility involved in caring for one that should never be taken lightly. I see so many people that have dogs that pay absolutely no attention to them. I have a client with, I believe, 5 dogs. 2 are very aggressive dogs that she cannot handle, and she is thinking about getting a golden retriever for her son for Christmas because he is afraid of the aggressive dogs. I have 2 dogs myself. I take the time to be with them through most of the day and love them all. I have taught my 13-year-old daughter responsibility from the time she was a toddler, and still would never consider giving her a pet at Christmas. Our animals are part of the family, but in no way can she ever be trusted to be responsible or accountable for them alone. A child cannot take all mentioned above and decide, yes, I really want a pet. Most kids cannot be responsible for themselves, much less a pet. Do they make enough money to feed and care for them? No, you will. Buying a pet for our kids for Christmas without proper consideration is a gift that might well turn into a nightmare. Realistically and sadly, Christmas puppies tend to be older puppies at the pound a few months later, or that nearly year-old dog getting euthanized because someone bought a dog as a toy for a child that has no legitimate responsibility for that animal and loses interest. Also, some people have no clue that dogs grow and get bigger. Also will require training, and they bring them to me at arm's length saying, fix my dog. Still have your heart set on the idea? Consider gift wrapping an IOU in the form of a book on dog care, a greeting card picturing a puppy, a photo of the dog you're considering, or even an ID tag. Then after the excitement of the offer has passed, you can discuss logistics. Is this really what they want? Is he or she really willing to make lifetime commitment to the dog?
And we received so many comments on this where people are saying, you're exactly right. And many people, like we said in the article, just don't think about it. And so many people think that their kid, no matter how old, can be responsible enough to take care of the dog. And I talk about our daughter in there. She's 13 years old. Her name is Nicole. And she has been working with us in our dog training school in one capacity or another since she's 2 years old. But I still feel that she is not responsible enough to be able to take care of that dog. First and foremost, she doesn't make any money. So how could she realistically say, yes, my dog needs this or my dog needs that? She would still have to count on mom and dad to take care of that dog. Michelle?
Well, yes and no. I mean, Nicole does have a dog that is her sole responsibility. And with that being said, please keep in mind that I feel that a pet is a good way to teach children responsibility within reason. A lot of kids these days do get an allowance. Part of Nicole's allowance goes to the care and upkeep of her pet. We have been lucky with her dog, Kane, that he has not had extraordinary medical expenses, but that is something that we said that we would take care of because we consider her dog our dog as well. And that's what people need to keep in mind. It's not Billy's dog. It's the Forto's dog. It's the family's dog. And that's what a lot of people don't understand. Our son Tyler, who is 16, when he was 13 years old, we allowed him to adopt a dog from the animal control with me. He and I co-owned this dog named Juno. And we adopted him knowing that Juno had extraordinary aggressive issues. He was a Siberian Husky. He was an escape artist. He did not get along with other dogs at all. And Tyler said, I will fix this dog, Mom, and I want to make sure that he can go to a loving home that will understand what his issues are and how to properly take care of him. And this is coming from a 13-year-old. And I think, Robert, you recall, Tyler spent 2 years working with Juno day in and day out. And, yes, he did stay, for the most part, full-time at our kennel. But Tyler was the one who was responsible for that dog's training, made sure his health was upkept, his shots were given, he had proper nutrition and things like that. And Juno is now placed in a home. He is happy and healthy and doing just fine. But Tyler worked with him through aggression classes, obedience classes, and finished him in canine good citizen class.
Well, first off, Michelle, this is not about the virtues of our kids. This is about the 99.9% of the pet families out there and their kids. Are they responsible enough to take care of these dogs?
No, and that's what I'm trying to say, is that I'm trying to give the example that you have to work at pet ownership as a family. You can't just turn over any type of pet, whether it's a mouse or a dog or even a horse, to a child and expect them to be able to handle all aspects of caring for a living thing. It's just, it's an impossibility. It's not something that is even considerate of where your child is at and what kinds of things he or she can undertake. And I think that that's what I'm trying to get at, is that it's a partnership for all family members, not just this one particular child receiving this pet. And it doesn't matter if it's a pet at Christmas time or any other time during the year. It really should be considered wholeheartedly any time of the year whether it is a good idea to get a pet for a child as a gift.
Well, you know, I'm a prime example of this. When I was about 16 years old, I remember I was living in Portland, Oregon. I looked in the newspaper, and there was for sale some English Springer Spaniel puppies. And I drove out there and picked one up and brought him home and, you know, was just ecstatic about having this dog that we called Barney. And within a year and a half, I had moved out of the house, and I left Barney with my parents. And Barney finished out his life. He lived to, 13, 14 years old at my parents' home. So I was a prime example of the lack of responsibility, even at the age of 16, of not being able to take care of a dog that I wanted so desperately, and I paid for myself.
Well, and absolutely, and I think that that's where your thinking stems from, is that you feel guilty for what happened to Barney, and you know, your mom and dad and your brothers took very good care of Barney, and he had a wonderful life. But you have those guilty thoughts that you let that dog down, and you did. But he didn't end up in the shelter. He didn't end up euthanized. He ended up, you know, a fat and happy Springer Spaniel living out his days.
Well, I don't feel guilty. On the contrary, I actually feel pretty good about it, that I was not responsible enough to take care of that dog, and he did have a place to go. So I do think that there is a happy ending to a lot of these, but there are so many that end up in the shelters. A lot of these Christmas puppies around April or May, they start calling us up and saying, you need to fix this dog. He's torn up the couch. He's ripped up the carpet. He's into the trash every day. He's biting my kids, et cetera, et cetera. Can you fix him? And they want a very quick fix. You know, the dog's now 6 or 7 months old, and they want a quick fix to be able to fix Rover to all of the problems that have gone on over the last few months. And if you think about the logistics of this, you get a dog for Christmas, and the kids are home for another week or so before they go back to school for their second semester of the school year. So they bond with the dog and play with the dog and get feisty with the dog during that week off. And then as soon as they go back to school, they're not going to have another week off until spring break, possibly have off President's Day or a day off here and there. But literally, they will not be with this Christmas puppy again for an extended period of time until spring break, which is typically at the end of March.
That is correct. And I think that that's a lot of what happens, you know. We're not talking about all kids, and we're not talking about all age groups. I constantly recommend to people that call me up because, and I'm going to go ahead and toot my own horn, I'm the most sought-after trainer in the Rocky Mountain region for children with pets. I get more calls from families with kids that want me to help teach their children, not necessarily how to train their dog, but how to behave around their dog so that their family can coexist and be a little bit happier, and the dog's not too rambunctious, and the kids aren't mistreating the dog, and vice versa. And I will let people know right away, I do not recommend pets, dogs especially, and cats, for children under the age of 6. And that is because I've been there and done that. I mean, when Nicole and Tyler were 5 and 2, we had 30 Siberian Huskies and 2 house pets, 2 Malamutes, and we had a Neke, of course. And that's a lot of animals to have with a 2-year-old and a 5-year-old. And logistically, I can tell you, you've got to constantly keep your eye on a 2-year-old and a 5-year-old, but you also got to constantly keep your eye on the pets. It is just not a good idea. Most families cannot handle that much chaos, okay? So I don't recommend that people have their children in a room with a dog or a cat if the child is under the age of 6 and is unsupervised. It's not good for the pet, and it's not good for the child. So I have a lot of people that come to me, and I teach their children and their pets how to behave better with each other. And it's good for the kids because now the kids are part of the responsibility of being involved with this pet, not just, oh, I'm home on Saturday, so I might go out in the backyard and play with the dog for 5 minutes. It's more about the daily responsibility. I go over brushing the dogs. I go over, you know, proper disposal of pet waste and, you know, walking the dog and things like that. There's a whole realm of things that we go into that's therapeutic for the kids in a way that the parents weren't even thinking of when they picked up this pet at the pet store or the breeder or the animal shelter.
Well, looking at it this way, Michelle, just by statistics alone, I think that you may get 30 calls a year from families that want to include their kids with training. And with that, there are 2 million people or so in Denver, and statistics show that 70 or 80% of the dogs out there in the world are not trained. So are you saying to me that you're such a sought-out trainer for kids and dogs, how come the phone is not ringing off the hook at all dog training centers, not just Denver Dog Works, for people that want to show their kids, their family, the proper way to take care of dogs?
Because not all trainers offer that type of training. I don't know why. There's a lot of trainers that only deal with certain types of dog training. You're a behaviorist. You deal with all types of dog behavior, but I met a behaviorist yesterday that says she only deals with fear, okay? There are a lot of trainers out there that will not train your children and do not want them in their classes. There are a lot of trainers out there that only want to teach certain types of obedience. I not only teach obedience, I teach puppy obedience. I teach canine good citizen. I teach therapy, team training, and I teach service dog training. And I teach service dogs for children with autism. I do incorporate children. I incorporate the entire family in the dog training experience, not just the person who wrote me the check.
But still, cut and dry, only 2 or 3 out of 10 people are seeking out dog training. So I think that that is the crutch of the entire problem with this Christmas puppy phenomenon, is so many people, 7 or 8 people out of 10, their dogs are not trained. So is that the problem or not?
I think that when people get a pet, that they fall for the big brown eyes, okay? They fall for the sweet face. They fall for the little crying and the, you know, the little murmurs that the puppies make. They fall for all the cute and cuddliness. And they buy the puppy, and then they go, oh, I have to find a vet. Okay? And then a few weeks go by, a few months go by, and then they go, oh, we need a trainer now. And then a few weeks go by, a few months go by, and somebody mentions to them that their dog is the type of dog that needs groomed on a regular basis, every 3 to 6 months. And now that expense is in there, involved. And I think that part of the problem is we fall for that cute and cuddliness. And we don't think outside the box prior to getting a puppy. And that's where a lot of this problem with having Christmas puppies comes into consideration, just like you touched on in your article. When we have people call me for breed referrals, prior to getting a dog, that's even rarer. I will get 1 or 2 calls a year where somebody will say, you know, I'm looking for a dog and I'm not really sure what I'd like to get, and a friend of mine recommended that I call a trainer first. Great. That's the order of things. You need to find a vet that you like, because just like a family doctor, you're not going to like every vet you come across. You need to find a veterinarian that you like, that you like their prices. You need to find a trainer that you like that's going to be able to build you a program based on your family and your goals that you would like to do with your dog. Most people don't get a dog just to have it lay around on the floor. Most people, especially in Colorado and Alaska, have a tendency to get a dog that is going to do things with them, hiking, biking, skiing, snowshoeing, all of these things that is what we train for the most at Denver Dog Works and Dog Works Training Centers nationwide, is that we train for sports. So if people, instead of thinking, oh, I'm going to get the kids a dog this year, that's an easy gift, we're all done. No, get the books. Sit down with the kids. Figure out what kind of dog they're going to like. What kind of dog is conducive to your family situation and your schedules. I mean, some dogs need constant care and constant stimulation, and other dogs don't. They can handle not being paid attention to 24 hours a day. So those are all things that aren't being taken into consideration, and somebody just walks by the pet store and goes, oh, my God, look at how cute you are, and they pick up that puppy and they take it home. My mom is a victim of, and I'm calling her a victim, but it's true, my mom is a victim of pet store sales. She has 2 dogs that she purchased at a pet store, and her daughter and her son-in-law are in the pet industry. We are dog trainers, and we have recommended to thousands of people why you should not buy a pet from a pet store or, you know, that impulse purchase. My mom has done it twice. And what does she say? She says, I saved them. And that's what a lot of people think that they are doing, is saving them. And that's a noble thing to think of. But at the same time, you didn't think about the investment that you're going to have for grooming, training, veterinarian care, time. Time alone is a huge investment that people don't take into consideration for the well-being of their pet.
And I want to touch on that before we finish up this segment about investment. At the bare minimum, it costs about $1 a day for every dog that you have in your home. More realistically, it's $2 or $3 a day. And if you think about that, that is bare minimum $365 a year to take care of that pet. And that includes food and toys and grooming and things like that. That does not include any major medical expenses. And as the dog grows up, and remember, a dog that's 6 years old is considered a senior for most breeds. That's when the problems start to develop medically for most dogs. So does your family have it in the budget to spend $365, $740, $900, $1,200 a year on this cute little puppy that you're getting for Christmas?
You know, and that's part of it. We have a lot of people that talk to us about pet insurance. And pet insurance is a good idea, but they really need to read the policies and see what it does cover. So there's another expense and consideration that people don't think about. So, you know, the biggest thing I can say is don't buy the pet for Christmas. Buy the book. Buy a puppy care package. Buy the crate. Buy some toys. Buy the training session. Have the trainer or your veterinarian help you pick out the puppy, whether it's from a shelter, from a pet store, or from a reputable breeder. Have a professional help you pick the right puppy so that that puppy doesn't end up with behavior problems in the shelter or have other situations going on, because if you have a professional help you pick out the proper dog temperamentally for your family before you even go and fall for this puppy, you're already ahead of the game.
I agree totally, and we want to hear what our listeners are thinking. Make sure you visit our Facebook page at Dog Works Radio, and let us know what you think about Christmas puppies. I know we only have about 5 days till Christmas. It is the Sunday before the big day, before the big man comes down the chimney. Is he going to bring that puppy for Junior or Sally? We want to hear your comments and concerns. You can always send us an email at live@dogdoctorradio.com, or make sure you visit that Twitter page or us on Facebook, Dog Works Radio. We're going to take a quick break and talk about native performance dog food. And when we come back, we're going to talk about Therapy Team Dreams with Michelle. We'll be right back.
Dog Works Radio and Mush You Huskies is fueled by Native Performance Dog Food. If you want the best for your canine athlete or working dog, we recommend Native Performance Dog Food. Available at Dog Works Training Centers. Call 303-578-9881 for more information. Native Performance Dog Food. You are listening to Dog Works Radio. We have the best and train the rest. Now back to the show.
This is Dog Works Radio, and my name is Robert Forto, and on the line from Denver, Colorado, is our co-host Michelle. Are you still there?
I am still here, and I'm just going to put it out there that the Giants-Eagles game is really a great game.
Well, you know, I'm looking forward to claiming that fantasy trophy this year, and it's looking like
That's not happening.
It looks like I'll be the I'm going to do a three-peat, so we'll see if we can hold the Forto's Fantasy Football Trophy in my hands for another year.
It is sitting here in Denver still, so I think it just might have found its home.
Well, there you go. So for people that are just listening to us, we just talked about whether Christmas puppies are a good idea or a bad idea, and you can find that show on iTunes tomorrow or anytime on blogtalkradio.com/dogworks. And you can always follow us on Twitter and Facebook. Just type in Dog Works Radio, and it will come right up, and we will give you a reminder of all of our shows, upcoming events, and training advice. So our next segment is about therapy team dreams. And Michelle is a very sought-after therapy dog team trainer in Denver, and we're hoping to expand that up into Alaska. And I know that there are not any therapy dog trainers up here in Alaska, including the Delta Society, which is probably the biggest training organization for therapy dogs in the nation. And Alaska is still what most people think it is. It's the last frontier. Many people do not want to do things up here that are very conducive to dog training down in the States. So, Michelle, let's talk a little bit about Therapy Team Dreams and your training at Dog Works Training Centers.
Well, you know, I do have a lot of people that give me a call, and they want to, you know, they're transitioning between pre-retirement. In other words, they're cutting back on their full-time hours, and people don't just retire anymore. We do what's called pre-retirement, where we're going to work part-time at our career instead of full-time because we can't quite retire just yet. So I'm going to have some hours open up, and I want to start giving back to my community. Volunteering is a wonderful way to give back to your local community. There are many ways to volunteer, but one in particular that seems to be very popular today is volunteering as a therapy team with your dog. At Dog Works Training Centers, we get countless calls and inquiries monthly regarding individuals interested in certifying their dog as a therapy dog. Many times, the individual is taken aback once they learn what it takes. You see, not every dog can or wants to work. Not every dog has the temperament or drive to make itself available emotionally and physically to strangers in new, unfamiliar environments. That being said, Dog Works Training Centers offers many different levels of therapy team training, including temperament testing and recertification training. We are familiar with the practices and testing requirements of Delta Society, Therapy Dogs International, Children's Hospitals, and SARA, Therapy Team Certification. If you are thinking about volunteering with your dog and becoming a therapy team, take some time and research your endeavor. Ask the local assisted living homes, hospitals, schools, and libraries if they utilize this service and what certifications they are looking for. There are also several private therapists, in-home care businesses, and enrichment programs that utilize therapy teams. Your local dog trainer is a great resource, and I would recommend starting with a trainer who is certified or experienced in therapy training. Training recommendations for therapy dogs: basic obedience, canine good citizen, a form of public access training, and proper socialization with people and outside environments. Those are recommended because a lot of times people just think that they've got the best dog for this because their dog gets along with all their friends and family and neighbors, and they think, well, I can just stop by the nursing home and take my little dog in with me, and he'll be fine. And that's not always the case. There are certain requirements that these dogs must meet to be allowed to go into these facilities. And I didn't even touch on that in my article, where there's certain vaccination requirements, health certificates need to be on file, and things of that nature that people don't even realize are required, because my pet's healthy and clean. Why do I need to show that my pet has had its vaccination?
And, you know, Michelle, a lot of people think that the only place that a therapy dog goes is at the hospital, in particular the children's hospital. I know that that is a huge draw for people that are interested in doing therapy dog training, and they want to have that position that is open at the children's hospital. There's a huge children's hospital in Aurora, which is only about 5 miles from our training center.
It's not that a lot of times what happens is people that think about therapy dogs think of hospitals. That is true. But a lot of times, when I explain to people that, you know, the elderly need to see these dogs just as much, they refuse to even consider being placed in an elderly facility. These volunteers want to be in with the kids. They want to be in with the cancer kids, and they're heartbroken when they find out that Children's Hospital alone has a 2-year waiting list.
And that's what I was getting to. There are so many other places that can utilize therapy dogs, like you said, assisted living facilities, retirement homes, homeless shelters, drug and alcohol rehabilitation centers, school classrooms, Boy Scouts, Girl Scouts, all sorts of places could utilize a therapy dog team. I can just think out loud of all the places that we could figure out where would a therapy dog team be utilized. And I remember talking a couple of years ago to Melissa Joseph, and she had probably the world's best therapy dog. His name was Baxter. He was a 17 or 18-year-old, just a mixed breed dog that everybody fell in love with. 19. He looked like the perfect therapy dog, and unfortunately Baxter passed away. But in the meantime, they wrote a book called Moments with Baxter. And what Baxter's job was is he visited the hospice houses for people that were dying, and dying in particular of AIDS and other type of ailments in San Diego. And he really found a niche of where to visit at this hospice home in San Diego. So there are so many other places that could utilize therapy dogs, and it's just not that cush job at the Children's Hospital.
Well, you didn't know this, but a week ago, I had a girl call me from the Auraria College campus here in Denver, and they were gearing up for finals, and they were having this, kind of like a potluck get-together, you know, de-stress zone, if you will, in the common areas for the students. Between finals, you know, you come and grab a snack and just kind of listen to some music and just blow off some steam for a while between your finals. And she called me and she said, do you have any therapy dogs that you could bring down? I think it would be a wonderful idea for the students to be able to come and hug a puppy, you know, a dog, between classes. And I said, you know what, that's an awesome idea. And unfortunately, all of my teams are committed during the week, and I had no way to get a team to her, and what had happened is she gave me 72 hours to try to put a team together and come down to the school and do this for them, and we just couldn't get it done. And you know, those are things that are outside the box type thinking with therapy teams, and it kind of blew me away, and it got me thinking, you know, that is an awesome service to start offering to high schools and colleges, you know, because dogs do give you the opportunity to get, you know, tell them a secret. If you tell the dog a secret, you're going to be 50 times better off than you are holding it in.
There you go. So therapy dog training is alive and well. It is a huge draw for lots of different types of training centers, but you got to look out for the trainer that knows what they're doing. It's not just a regular dog training system where you're teaching the dog sit, down, stay, and come. So I recommend giving us a call at Denver Dog Works at 303-578-9881 or visiting our website at denverdogworks.com. And again, I've said it before in this show, look us up on Facebook, Twitter, and everywhere else, just type in Dog Works Radio. Michelle, we have about a minute. What do you want to close with? It is the Christmas week.
Well, I want to close with the Eagles just got a touchdown. It's 30-31 with about a minute left in the game, and looks like your fantasy guy Vic is going to kick my butt.
Well, we're looking forward to spending some time together over the holidays on the radio here at Dog Works Radio. We have a couple of other shows coming up on Wednesday, or I believe it's Thursday. It's the 22nd. We have
Wednesday.
Hurry.
We have the Colorado Canine Bedbug Dog Macaroni. But
there you go.
I do need to mention to everybody out there my shameless plug for Denver Dog Works. At Christmas and through till December 31st every year, we always offer $99 lifetime group class training for $99, and that is the biggest special we offer at the end of the year every year. That is a $250 program that we offer for $99. Your dog can come for its lifetime to group class at Denver Dog Works.
There you go. So for all of our listeners, Merry Christmas and Happy Holidays and warm wishes to all of your family. We look forward to talking to you. If not this week, I know it's a busy one. We will see you next year in 2011. This is Robert Forto for Michelle Forto. Never forget your dreams. We'll see you next week. Goodbye.